Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to this week's episode of Radio Established to Address Life. We have come back in form like Voltron. What's going on, cousin?
Yeah. What's going on, baby? How you doing this Saturday, baby boy?
Boy, let me tell you something. It's hotter like fire out this season. And check it out, right? So we were talking, and I decided, because, you know, we went back, listened to some shows and stuff, and I decided I wasn't going to do the good morning, because it comes through, like, so loud, and I was like, ooh, that's not good.
We need that, you know what I mean? Like, it's been a rough week. I look forward to that. Good morning. I'm used to that. You know what I mean? I need that in the morning. I need that in my life, girl.
I feel you. And I was like, it sounded so bad. I was like, ooh, I gotta stop that. Look, though, family, let me tell you something. First off, let's shout out to Canada. Got the passport stamp real quick over the weekend. Had to dip over for a hot second while I was in Detroit. Shout out to Detroit. Shout out to Indiana. And look, we got to give them their props because we're going to slam them later on. But for the moment, let's give Indiana some props. Also, Chicago, mad props to Chicago. Trenton O'Donnell, what's up, man? What's up, homie? Great seeing you, family. It's been too long. Let's not allow another 20-plus years to go between us coming together and breaking bread and just having a genuine face-to-face, heart-to-heart type conversation. The trip to Chicago was a part of the experience, the entire Detroit experience. It was definitely worth it. It was live. Great historical experience. Really felt the city. It wasn't my first time in Detroit, but it felt like the first time. I got much more into it. I got a much better feel for it. Deeper appreciation of it. It was a good look all the way around. And I'm looking forward to going back because there's a number of things that's popping off that I want to be up there for. But it was a great business time, without a doubt. It was just wonderful. It was wonderful all the way around. And I just needed to get that off the chest. Now, whilst I was away, it was during the time of the RNC convention, and we'll talk about that. But before we get into all that crazy shit, fam, so the last time you were not here with us, well, maybe it was the time before then, you had your business meeting to attend, and things came out very well for you. Congratulations. That's what's
long,
up.
Right.
And then you had to do your military thing, so that's what's up. We appreciate you, salute you for that. Yeah, we appreciate you and salute you for that. We've not been on. I wasn't able to come through last week because it just was crazy at work for me last week, and I couldn't break away. Things were much better for me this week because I still got to pay the bills, family. You know, we going to keep it real. You know, this does not pay the bills, but it's a great thing to do. That's why we're here week in and week out. But I couldn't break away last week, and I had so much to say. And I'm not done saying that stuff. However, the wheel continues to move. Time continues to tick. I was on with my brothers earlier today, and we were talking about turning 50. And how close that is in our reality right now, and how huge of a milestone that is, and how that needs to be celebrated and appreciated and really embraced, and how we're going to do differently our 50th versus what we've allowed to happen for some others. And we'll fix those as well, too, because we definitely talked about that. So, Mel, Todd, Mel, don't sweat it. We got you. We got you. We definitely got you. We allowed that to slip, and that's our fault, but we got you. But anyhow, so Munich happened just yesterday. Young man, 18 years old, born in Munich, Armenian family, roots, dual citizenship. He goes out with 300 rounds of ammunition in a backpack. He starts killing people. End all be all of the story. For whatever his reasons, nobody knows. Nobody will probably ever know, but that's what he chose to do. Sad part about it, he took a number of lives before he took his own. So this was the third attack on civilians in Western Europe within the past 8 days. This attack happened at a fast food spot near a busy shopping mall. The way that it was all set up, the AP broke that he hacked into a young woman's Facebook page and lured people to come to the mall, saying that, you know, posing as her, saying, look, come to the mall, I'm going to break you off with a gift, I got something for you, blah, 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 blah. This cat was, he spent time in psychiatric care, and he appeared to be obsessed with mass shootings. Now, he later on took his life, but he killed eight people. No, nine people before it was all said and done. This, I bought that first, not because it bleeds, it leads, but I bought that first because I was talking to some friends over the past couple of days, and everyone's pretty much echoing the same thing. Yo, the world is fucking gone crazy. This is just crazy. Every time you turn around, you know, there's a new mass shooting or people getting shot up or yada, you know, this, that, and the third. And you know, it's been my stance for years that the world is going crazy. Just the cameras are on now. The cameras are on and the information is really leaking out. And the information is much more prevalent than it's ever been before because of things like our show, Twitter, Periscope, Instagram, just cable news networks having 24-hour news, paper media needing to fill their pages. It's everything. You know, people have not gone crazy. The world has not gone crazy. This is not the end of fucking days. People have always done stupid shit like this. The news just didn't get out all the time. Some people, smarter people, I would say, felt like all this shit wasn't newsworthy. It was local newsworthy, not world newsworthy. Everything didn't need to escape our yard. Sometimes we have to keep the shit at home in our own house. and not let it get out because we need to fix it. There's no one else that can fix it but us. You dig? And that's what has changed. The lid is off. Everybody wants to know so everyone can go around living in fear.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll transition to that, cousin. I'm gonna let you jump in. I'll utilize that as a transition to the RNC. But go ahead, cuz, you got something to say?
Well, no, definitely. The point that you made as far as living in fear. I had a long, you know, adult conversation with one of my former coworkers, and you know, he was on the whole Black Lives Matter, they're a whole bunch of racist people, and, you know, just talking about how informed he is, and this is why he's taking the stance that he's taking against the Black Lives Matter movement. So I went on to not limited to just Black Lives Matter, but just like what you're talking about in general as far as the media portrayal of the world issues that we're seeing now. And I suggested to him, like, you know, are you educated or are you informed? An informed person, you get your information from a particular source, which is what most people use the media, whether you're a CNN junkie or a Fox News junkie. If you utilize the media, you're always going to get their take in regards to what everything is going on. And anybody who understands or who's educated understands that media portrayals are finance-based. You know, they are going to tell the stories that's going to raise, that's going to get them money, that's going to generate ratings, that's going to get them money. Like you said, everything that's going on in our world today, these things have been occurring for decades, you know, centuries. The travesties that we're seeing, the mass murders, like you said, Lee, this thing is nothing new to our world, but media has picked it up, ran with it, and when you get involved in the politics, it's a platform for the left side or the right side to prove their arguments, to dispel, you know, to tear down the other side's arguments, all in the effort to make themselves marketable, make themselves more revenue, make themselves more popular, or whatever the case may be. And all they're definitely playing on the fears of especially America. But now, the whole entire world. Terrorism is nothing new. It's not something that just occurred after 9/11. But since 9/11, everybody uses the word terrorism. Again, going to the Black Lives Matter movement, it's a push to get the Black Lives Matter movement on a terrorist list. So now everybody who opposes somebody is a terrorist. Now everybody who doesn't look like you is a terrorist. Now everybody who doesn't speak like you is a terrorist. But again, these ideologies aren't, it's not something that's new. So I caution people every day to not just be informed, but to be educated. Be educated about the history of our world. Be educated about the history of organizations. Be educated about the history and politics. You know, I don't live in the fear that most Americans live in because I'm educated. You know what I'm saying? Like, do I have some concerns for myself and my kids' well-being? Of course. I'll be a fool not to be concerned. But I damn sure don't live in fear because of some things that's been going on for hundreds of years.
Yeah,
I think that's a sad place to be in.
And the other side of it is, as soon as something happens, the first thing folks are to label it as is terrorism. I go back to the last plane crash that happened. The first thing came out of Joker's mouth was, "Oh, this was a terrorist attack." Really? If everything that happens is a terror plot or plan, then anything that happens is terrorism. So, dog, you know, you can't have a blowout on the highway and get into a 10-car pileup just because you had a blow up on the highway without it being labeled as a terrorist act. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Seriously, dog, like, y'all forgot the shit just happened sometimes? Some people are just crazy. Other things just happen. I mean, shit, there's mechanical issues. I mean, come on, anything can happen. Everything is not terrorism. Let's pump the brakes. Let's find out some facts before we start jumping off at it. hence the shooter in Dallas, hence the shooter in Austin. Same situation. Now, both of these men first were accompanied by two other people at least, and they got away, da-da-da-da-da. Then all of a sudden, it's just one shooter, and he or she are dead. You know, so how did this go from multiple shooters that you're absolutely sure of? Because you told me, it's like, we're sure that it's multiple shooters, down to, okay, it was just one person. And why is this one person dead? Right. The only course you had to deal with this person was to kill him? Really? But the white dude that killed 9 people in South Carolina, you took his ass out for Burger King. You know, the bikers that had the shootout in Texas, their asses, you had them on the curb. Yeah. The dude in California, that not the one north of L.A., but I'm talking about the dude, I think he was in
San Bernardino.
Close to Sandy. Yeah, no. That's the one I'm not talking about. The other dude that they disarmed, but he had a damn gun pointing at the cop. You just disarmed him. But these other cats, one you blow up, absolutely blow him up, but the only thing that didn't get blown up was his license, his identification. But you blew him up. Right? Okay. That motherfucker is killing me. But anyhow, I'm not going back there. I'm going forward, not backwards. So speaking of fear, the RNC convention. Let's get to the bullshit first. Other than what Donald Trump said, every word out of his mouth. Melania Trump, the wife. I knew that speech sounded familiar. I knew it sounded familiar. Because Michelle Obama said the same damn thing. I know, what the hell? I'm sitting there like, hold on. Hold on, somebody said that. Twitter was on flame. Like, hold on. And video, audio started flipping and flying. And I'm on Twitter because, hey, y'all know, when the big shit happens, I hop on Twitter. So I'm on Twitter getting it in. Speaking of Twitter, going back to what you said, fam, about the media and their skewing and their twisting and plotting, I've been killing Morning Joe here. Because that Joe Scarborough has a fucking love relationship. I think his boyfriend, I don't know what's going on between him and Donald Trump. He has given this dude way too many passes, and he has allowed the fact that he represented the Republican Party at one point of his life to cloud the fact that he's now supposedly a journalist. And as a journalist, you need to remain neutral. I have said 1,000,001 times that I am neutral. I would have loved to see this campaign between Kasich and Bernie Sanders and would have had a hard time picking a candidate. And many a day, I think and have said publicly that I think I probably would have voted for Kasich. I like Kasich. I think that he would have been able to move Congress in a way that's necessary, unlike any Democrat that's going to come in just in case the Republicans keep the House, which more than likely they will, but lose the Senate. I think that he would be able to move the Senate in a way that is going to work beneficial to all parties involved. I think he would have appointed a balanced core of judges to the Supreme Court, meaning he may not have gone out and appointed anyone leaning to the Democratic side, but I think he would have appointed centrist judges to the court. He may have come out and hit us all over the head with a Republican pick, hardcore off the muscle or somewhere in the middle, but I think over the course of his time, the appointees that he made would have been balanced. They would have been more centric. I like that dude. I really, 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 really like that dude. And the fact that his ass stayed at home while the RNC held its convention in Cleveland even solidified my love for this dude. I like him. I really, really do. Moving on.
I think you're the only person that like him, guy.
Yeah, but it's okay. Mike Pence scared the fuck out of me. I'm looking at this dude like what's the character's name? Ooh, people gonna kill me too. Oh, the Emperor from Star Wars. That motherfucker was. Did you see this dude? You look at this dude's eyes. Only thing he needed was the hood.
All he needed was the Robin Hood and shooting lightning and shit out of his fingers. That motherfucker crazy. And I'm looking at these two dudes, and I'm saying, put them together, this is going to be Bush Cheney Part 2 times 10.
Yeah.
Them two motherfuckers are going to run this country in the ground. We will eventually. But we will be so far under as far as appeal to our overseas partners and anybody else outside of this country for so long after they're done with it. I don't even want to think that way. That motherfucker.
Yeah, we would definitely be like the laughing stock of the world powers, man. I think we're well on our way to that. We've done a good job at effing up our reputation, you know, with the world powers and our relationships. I mean, he's making a president, and I think he's managed to alienate all of our allies, and especially by welcoming a relationship with Russia. You know, I mean, just from every little thing that he does, I think, again, we've already been set back, you know, about 5 to 10 years already. And he's not even the president.
But he's orange. I mean, he's orange. I mean, did you see the dude? I mean, I'm looking at the, I'm like, dude, stay the hell away from the table. Like, what is wrong with you? What is really wrong with you? I don't get it. And, you know, he has the cut, and he's coming up. No, okay, I'm not even talking about Pence anymore. Just fuck it. Flip the Trump, okay? So he's – I'm sorry. I got to take a breath. Take a breath so you can say it. Okay, so I'm watching this Joker. And I'm listening to what he has to say. And everything out of his mouth. Did you count how many times he said law and order? I lost count after 1,000. Okay, what is this code for? What is this code for? That's the first thing that comes to
mind. You know exactly what it's code for, man.
Okay. But I'm playing devil's advocate.
Yeah, just
what the hell is law and order code for? Now, I'm looking at him, and I'm listening to Joe Madison the next day. And Joe said, look, if you listen to his speech, he was very Messiah-esque.
Mm-hmm.
He's very Messiah-esque. Only I and I alone. Follow me. Not I will work with.
Right.
We can do this. The coalition that I will form with da-da-da-da, we'll put this together, and then, you know, we'll move these things down the line. I'm sure that once elected, I can get the House leadership, the Senate, pull everyone into a room. Never that. Everything he said was me. He came out very Messiah-esque in his tone, in his speech, in his mannerisms. It scared the living shit out of me. It took me to, and I know I'm saying scared a lot, family, but yo, I don't say that word often. This shit terrified me. I'm looking at these dudes, and I'm literally thinking back to the South Park episode when Cartman became Hitler, and it was like frame by frame, he became Hitler. Like the first frame, he was standing on the podium just talking. The next frame, he put on the jacket. The next frame, he had a swastika on the jacket. The next frame, there was the flags behind him. And literally, frame by frame by frame, he became Hitler. The shit that this dude spewed, the way it was coming out of his mouth, you're talking mandatory minimums coming back. You're talking 3 strikes coming back. It might even be 2 strikes coming back.
Yeah.
Because the prison system, for-profit prison systems, in order for them to make a profit, they need prisoners. So you got to send them people somehow, right? You're talking about unfair sentences for this crime versus that crime. Zero tolerance laws coming back into place. My mind is just flashing with all the shit that we're trying to work out. You know, folks going to jail for marijuana possession. Why? Why are you going to jail for marijuana? If you have a ton of marijuana, I understand that.
Right.
If you have a pound of marijuana, okay. But you have an ounce of marijuana, eight ball, a quarter, come on. Oh, really? Not that I'm familiar with these terms, by the way. Just to,
In the words of Melania Trump's crew, like, that's a common thing everyone uses. Yeah.
Right, I Wikipedia'd them. Yeah, that was what I did.
The 80s had nothing to do with it. The 80s and 90s had
nothing to do with it. No, not at all. This information all came from Wiki, okay? Wiki.
Yeah.
But let me tell you who was the gangster that broke up the entire thing. Ted motherfucking Cruz.
He's
talking about some ball. This dude played them like a fiddle. He said no. And the only way he could have gotten on stage was for him to say, no, I'm going to come and I'm going to endorse. And he played their asses like a fiddle. He said, no, look, everything's good. I'm going to go out here. I'm going to make a statement. I am going to endorse our candidate for the President of the United States. He got up on that stage and said, fake, walked up on that mug and didn't endorse anybody. Told the people at the convention, vote your conscience. Go out and vote for the best candidate that you believe will support our values as Republicans. Excuse me. I said, Lord have mercy. This dude then got him. He has got him. Now, he's going to lose his seat, without a doubt. He's going to lose his seat because the party itself has turned on him and will turn on him. Please understand
him. It's a sacrifice that he was willing to make, though.
And that's why I applaud him.
Yeah.
That's why
I
applaud him.
His politics isn't going to stop as Republican. In my opinion, it's actually going to increase. Again, he's going to lose his seat, but his influence is going to go well beyond, you know, what I think he ever imagined and what other politicians ever imagined. Because when you're able to, because I think he did everything but say, don't vote for Trump. You crazy if you vote for Trump. You know what I'm saying? Like, where other people have really, you know, politicked their answers, like extremely politicked their answers and kind of supported him, but not in the open. They supported Trump, but not necessarily in the open. He played the system. What a lot of people who don't realize is that the RNC is not necessarily a celebration for the presidential nominee. You know, it's to announce the nominee, but you can come there with your own agenda and say whatever the hell you want to say. And that's exactly what he did. He used that opportunity. Again, because if you honestly care about your country, yes, you happen to be a Republican or you happen to be a Democrat, but if you honestly care about your country, you're not just going to, you know, sell out to the candidate because everybody else is with the candidate. And he chose not to do that. He chose to stand his ground. And like you said, bro, this became personal, homie. I ain't going to talk about my wife and call my wife a hoe. And talk about my father. Yo, come on, bro. Like, are you serious? And yo, this is personal, homie.
He said, I am not in the business of endorsing people who talk about my ditty and talk about my wife. All right, but back to Trump. So the lies that he spewed were just horrible. American taxes. America is the most taxed nation in the world. No, we're not. Motherfucker, we rank as the 30th highest taxed nation in 30th. We're not even the top 5, not the top 10, not the top 15, not the top 20, not the top 25. We are 30th, and we are only one step ahead of, ding, 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 Korea. You ever been to Korea? I have. It's a shitty place. Literally and figuratively, But literally, because they do still use human manure for their crops. So it literally is a shitty place. We are one step above them in regards to taxes. The top five, just in case you're wondering, Finland, Denmark, Norway, France, and Sweden. Now, what do all of those have in common except for our asses? Let me see. Universal health care? Yeah, they have that. College education. Damn near free, if not free. Ding, ding, ding. All of them. All of them have that. Except for us. Dumbasses. I'm sorry. Immigration and wages. He drew a contrast between how immigration has downtrodden wage growth. Not true. No one's proved that. No one has proved that. As far as immigration and unemployment, no one has proved that either. But he says that African Americans and Latinos are disproportionately unemployed because of immigration. No! In fact, African-American and Latino unemployment are either at or hovering around historic lows. According to the Bureau of Labor and Statistics, just reporting in June of this year, a couple of weeks ago, Donald, African-American unemployment is at 8.6. Latino unemployment is at 5.8. Remember, national unemployment is hovering right between 5, 8 to 6 points. You fucking kidding me? Like, dude, what are you saying? What are you saying? And political fact check I'm talking about, these fuckers piss me off. Because here they go, and I'm hitting a political fact check, right? Because this is what I do. You know, I had to get ready for the show. You know, I got to do the research, right? Got to be ready. Can't just speak shit at folks. You know, folks. So folks can check me. So here they are, true but misleading. What the hell is that? What the hell is true but misleading? You tell your wife. You tell your wife when she tell you give her your check. You know what I'm saying? You give her $650. But your ass made $1,000 that goddamn week. Let's see how fast that frying pan comes slapping upside your goddamn head. So you gave her some money, but you misleading her how much you actually made. Really? Who does that shit, dog? It's either true or false. There's no true but misleading. It's either true but false. True or false. That's it. There's no gray area in the truth.
It is if you're Donald Trump, man. You know, and the thing about it, people have chosen to not, they don't even care about the fact in supporting Donald Trump. You know, I think a lot of, if you look at his rallies, if you look at his speeches and stuff like that, the thing that gets the crowd riled up are the religious, racial, and the sexist comment that he makes. Nobody cares about the numbers and the facts, because, like, these people who are supporting this man could care less about unemployment rates. They could really care about taxes to a certain degree. I mean, for the most part, they don't want to get hit over the head with taxes. They want to make as much money as they can. So they care to a certain degree. But he has run a successful campaign on being the most racist, sexist, and a word that I made up was gender discriminationalism person that I've ever seen as far as being a politician is concerned. You know, nobody cares about those numbers, Cole. That's why they're able to say it's true, but true but misleading, because they don't care. They hate black folks. They hate Mexicans. They hate Muslims. They hate immigrants. Their hate supersedes truth.
Everything.
And I think it's important. I think it's important for people to not get caught up in the fact that he's lying. They don't want to care, but man, them people who support him, they know, like, they know that this guy is lying. Even black people who support him, yeah, even black people that support him hate black people.
Mm.
They look at, you know, they look at middle class black people like, man, you fucking it up for everybody else. It's the hate, man. It's this, his platform, his whole campaign is based off of hate and fear, not facts. You know, I don't even give the fact, I don't give him and his numbers any credence whatsoever. Because again, that's just smoke and mirrors, a little propaganda to confuse people and get off. And then he'll slide right back to sexism, gender discrimination, freaking racism. I mean, even when they were talking about it yesterday, dude, you're supposed to be talking about Hillary Clinton and tearing her down, but you go right back to Ted Cruz and his wife. Why are you're going to be moving forward, but you're going back to them.
Right.
And again, it's about the sexist remarks. It's about the racist remarks. It's about, you know, Ted Cruz, your father was in charge, was part of the conspiracy, or your grandfather, whoever, was a part of the conspiracy to kill JFK. Like, why
nah.
Is this even...
No, nah, then I see the hypocrisy is this. And this is what I caught. And actually, again, I'll credit Madison because he said it before I did, but I already caught it. The biggest story on Thursday, because that's when he accepted the nomination. The biggest story on Thursday was the story from Wednesday, right? Mm-hmm. Well, the two stories from the week. First story from the week was the brother that got shot, and we'll talk about him, while laying on the ground. The second story from the week was the video from 2015 when the young lady was taken out, snatched out of her car, and slammed on the ground by the cops. Those were the two biggest stories. You're talking about law and order, but never once did your ass say anything about either one of those. We cannot live in a world, live in a society in which those who are sworn to protect and serve are actually held above the law. We have to check them. They deserve to be checked. If they're doing what they're supposed to do, it shouldn't be a damn issue. So a lot of things have happened since we've been away, right? One of the things that happened was I was in front of the police. I was invited to a meeting with the police. Had my little 20 minutes of fame, 15 minutes of fame, whatever the hell you want to call it. Commissioner was there. Active watch commanders were there, so on and so forth. After our meeting, just so coincidental, if you want to say that, I'm cool with that, there was a restructuring of the police department here in Baltimore City. A number of the folks that I was in the room with got promoted into more hands-on street positions. But it was a promotion for them. One of them, Major Worley, hey, got to give him his prop. Another one of them, Colonel Robinson, got to give him his prop. I trust these two cats. I like our commissioner. That was the first time I met that cat. I like this dude. A number of things that they said really hit home for me. One of the things that they said is very important. We need more people from Baltimore City to become police officers in Baltimore City. What a damn novel concept. What a novel concept. We need more people in Baltimore City to become police officers in Baltimore City.
But hold on for a second, cuz that sounds nice, right? And I actually talked about that a few years ago, and I thought when I made the comment, I thought about how difficult it would be for the average, you know, Baltimore City, you know, citizen to become a police officer. I mean, think about it, man. Like, I thought about becoming a police officer. I'd be locking up half my homeboys and my family. You know what I'm saying? So how challenging is it for a citizen of Baltimore to become and be an effective city cop? What you see a lot of it, you know, a lot of the citizens that become cops they become state troopers, county cops, and stuff like that. You know what I mean? You've grown up with these guys, and I got to arrest them too. Like that's challenging for a lot of people.
Yes,
if I can even clear the background check.
No, I can do it for real, right? But well, actually, and again, say this is coincidental or not, the commish made an announcement yesterday that he wants to look at the necessary qualifications for incoming candidates and seriously sit back and discuss changing some of them if necessary to include marijuana usage.
Not off the table.
To attack your other part of the question, and I'll let you jump back in. To attack your other part of the question, how effective or efficient would you be as a citizen who becomes a cop locally to do your job? I think you will be hella effective. Reason number one, when you come on your beat, they're going to know. Yo, my cousin is about to hit the block. Let me tell y'all something. If anything happens to my cousin while he's on his beat, there's going to be a problem. That's number one. So your family, your friends shut shit down for you, right? So now what do these dudes do with all this time that they're shut down while you're working? They are still around, and you have an opportunity to talk to them. Now, some of the younger dudes are like, well, why does this dude get so much respect? And now they start approaching you, you approach them, and it starts to change the culture. Not immediately, but it will change.
Please.
Because the young cats are like, well, damn, why wouldn't Vic come on? Everything's just so chill. What is it that he did? Well, I want to be like Vic.
Lee,
it's good.
You and I both grew up in a different era.
Yes.
With that mindset and that respect for, you know, legends from the hood, you know what I'm saying? Like, guys who grew up in that respect that we have is different. So, yeah, that would be something, a marketing tool or marketing strategy, or recruiting strategy, I should say, for when we grew up, because we had that kind of respect for our neighborhood. We had that kind of respect for guys who made it in our neighborhood and moved on to do bigger and better things, i.e. becoming a cop or a state trooper or whatever, or even a politician. Citizens nowadays don't have that kind of respect for people who grew up in our neighborhoods and came back to give to our neighborhoods. You got guys setting up ambushes for civic leaders, whether they're perfect or not, and then lose civic leaders. Lord Scooter, he leaving a freaking peace rally and get ambushed. We grew up in a different era. The police commissioner grew up in a different era where that mindset would be okay. That makes sense for our era. I have a friend who became a corrections officer, tried it out. Within a month, he was on an investigation for smuggling drugs in because he knew people in the bookings. Yeah, yo, my boy coming, my boy, he on shift. They played him.
Right.
He had to fight for his life.
I don't, and again, I didn't say your boy, I said family, you know what I'm saying? But while I understand that times have changed and times will forever change, what I see from those who I'm very close to that work with kids every day are kids that are still kids. They're still starving for leadership and direction. And if you get them and you get them at the right point, you can lead them in a different path. I don't think children have ever changed in that. You know, I think that they will follow whatever they see as the strongest trend or the most consistent trend. You know what I'm saying? So I can see that you are correct. Yes. However, I think that there's still hope. And hope is the thing that the only thing that I really have to hold on to. And I choose to hold on to that. If I'm wrong, that's okay. But, you know, at least I choose to have a more optimistic view than a pessimistic view in this case. And I can live with the fact that I'm wrong, but I'll die trying to see that come into fruition. And I'm cool with that.
The point of my argument is not to say that the commissioner is wrong. Like, I appreciate anybody trying to fix the problem. But I think that most people are overlooking, in my opinion, the simplest problem. If you change the accountability, like you mentioned before, if you change the accountability for the police, for police officers, we mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, how the military has UCMJ. UCMJ makes you fall in line. The punishments are so severe for the smallest thing. You fall in line. Every once in a while, you get somebody to fall through the cracks and wiggle their way out. But ultimately, the UCMJ keeps the military and its 550,000 plus troops, or the army, and its 550,000 plus troops in line. You know, the same thing could be applied to police officers nationwide. I don't think that a recruiting strategy to say, hey, look, you know, hey, more citizens of, you know, of communities become, that could be effective for some citizens, because of course you're going to have some that come in and kill a gang. But I think overall, nationwide, I don't think that would be an effective fix, as opposed to, hey, just making me, holding these cops more accountable for doing the right thing or doing the wrong thing.
And another thing came out was the need to change the culture within the department, which is the department is going through a transition where they're coming out of a zero tolerance culture where, you know, it was arrest, which effectively put a huge shield and wall between themselves and the community, because there was little to no leeway in handling the, you know, people. It's like, yo, you did something wrong, take your ass to jail. Or I think you did something wrong, take your ass to jail, and, you know, you'll figure it out later. Because that's an arrest.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That was an arrest. So now the culture is mediating. That's the change that they're going through right now, getting into mediation. So instead of going to a call and the first thing in your mind is, I need to arrest everybody there, I want you to go to that call, and first thing on your mind needs to be, okay, what happened?
Right.
You know, let's figure out what happened first. Truly do an investigation, and then make a decision based off of that. Versus, we got the call said this, we're going to arrest everybody, and we'll sort the shit out later. You know, and I understand how that can take a while, but going back to what I said 3-5 minutes ago, I trust this Joker. I like this Joker.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I trust the boots on the ground commanders. You know, look, they didn't hold any punches. They were like, look, we see them fucking up. There was a video posted a couple of days after our meeting of an officer on duty asleep. He was in his car asleep.
Yeah.
It was hot as hell outside. He turned the air on. His ass went to sleep. I don't know the circumstances of that. I don't know if he had pulled, you know, 3-5-7 days straight, 12-16 hours for whatever reasons, you know, folks could have might have been short or whatever. I don't know if he's double-dipping, triple-dipping, meaning he's working for the police department, then working some side job and got off the side job late, then got called in or whatever. That's his problem, not ours. You know, his job is to be awake, be alert, and be prepared. So I don't know about all that. All I know is there was video of officers sitting in the cruiser running his gas, air conditioner on full blast, and his ass was asleep. There were two people there talking about they do a block party every year to save the kids, get the kids involved in some other things, you know. And there were officers on patrol near the party. They asked the officers, they walked into the car at different times and said, hey, you all are more than welcome to come. Get something to eat, get something to drink. We want you here. We want you a part of this. Please come and enjoy. Neither one of the officers got out the car. They sat in the car the entire time. This was a perfect time for them to engage the community, show themselves in a totally different light, and their asses refused. They sat in the car. But that goes back to the hiring thing, which we talked about. You say, look, we're getting kids from upstate New York, Jersey, Ohio, West Virginia, Virginia, Pennsylvania, Delaware, Pennsylvania Dutch usually, Delaware. These are our applicants. These are the people that we hire. Most of them have never been in the city. They don't know how a city works. Their only knowledge of a city and city life are from movies and music videos. A lot of them are afraid. This is what puts all of us at risk, though. These are the things that put us all at risk. If you are afraid to do your job, if you're unwilling to meet the people whom you are charged with protecting, that puts us all at risk. That leads us to the shit that happened to Breonna King down in Austin. Again, this happened last June. She's a teacher, 26 years old. Pulled over for a traffic stop by Officer Brian Richter. He drags her out of her car. He threw her around like she was a rag doll. She's a little woman. He slammed her to the pavement. All for a traffic stop. A traffic stop. She's in the car. Later, handcuffed, backseat. He has a partner in the car. She asks the partner, Officer Spradlin, why was I treated like such? The officer's reply, on camera, this is all dash cam, I can give you a really good idea why it might be that way.
Yeah.
Violent tendencies. And I want you to think about that. This was the officer's response to this young lady. Why did I just get assaulted and accosted by this officer? Because you people have violent tendencies. The summation is because you people have violent tendencies. What fucking you people have violent tendencies? Let me tell y'all something. If black folks had violent tendencies, it'd be a whole lot more dead white folks.
I'm telling you.
Please understand and believe that.
We're looking for a reason. We looking for a reason most of the time to pop off. But, you know, I think our discipline and restraint allows us not to pop.
The ill thing is, in the shower on Tuesday, I thought about this very thing. Before this video broke, I was in the shower on Tuesday thinking about how black women have been cast as angry, neck-shaking, twisting, attitude-having people, and how they are one of the fastest groups of imprisoned persons. Why? Because that image is so prevalent. So now, again, we go to those who are charged to uphold the law being above the law. So you put her in a courtroom across from this white male, female, whatever, and the image in that jury's mind is she said something to him to piss them off. I know she shook her head or went to grab for her waist and he thought it was whatever. But that's the image that is of her. She has an attitude. The most prevalent picture, obviously, the most priceless picture I've seen since Tiananmen Square, when the young man was standing in front of the tank, was the young woman that was standing smack dab between the police officers and the Black Lives Matter protesters. She was standing there as a figure of peace. That was so iconic. That picture was amazing. So moving.
But
she has attitude. She's crazy. She's all ready to pop off. Go ahead, fam.
That picture didn't even get the most airplay. The image from the Baltimore riots that got the most airplay was the mother whipping the son's ass, and she was wrong for doing that in the public's eye, or the media's eye. you know, she like faced charges at one point, if I'm not mistaken, because she disciplined her son for looting and rioting in a negative way. You know what I mean? And she was ostracized because of that. But what bothers me about the image in regards to, you know, black women, I don't give a damn how much neck shaking a woman does. That doesn't give a grown ass man the right to toss her around like a rag doll. I don't give a damn what a woman says. That's just, you know, it's that's like comparing Ray Rice. Janae Rice spit on Ray Rice. She probably said a whole bunch of things, and he's not justified in what he did. This guy can't even work anymore. Can't get a job. He's begging for a job. So he'll give up his whole salary if he can work again.
If he can play. If he can play.
But this cops are allowed to snatch you out of a car, twist your arms, almost break your limbs, scrape you up, bruise you, beat you down because you said something to piss him off. Because you asked him a question, like, how dare you question me, woman? Like, again, that's the above the law mentality that cops have been able to kind of hide behind or use in their advantage, but they're citizens just like everybody else. They just happen to have a career in law enforcement.
But see, I'm going to piss some folks off, and I understand they're going to be pissed. My friends in law enforcement, let me tell you something. When we say cops, we're not talking about all cops, right?
Oh, yeah.
We're not. We can't because we don't know them all. Right? But here's the ill thing. Most black people are handled due to a portion of some black people.
Yeah.
You see how that shit works?
Yeah.
You see how that shit works? Most black people are handled due to the ignorance of some black people. Yet you pissed at me because I say cops.
Right.
And I don't break it down to a specific. So you're upset with me. Let me tell y'all something, dog. We can't fix this shit if we don't talk about it. We can't fix it if we don't address it head on. I don't give a fuck what uniform you wear. If your ass is wrong, you are wrong. And if y'all asses aren't checking one another, then guess what? All of y'all motherfuckers are wrong. You know that ignorant motherfucker when you go through training with him. Request to be his partner. And snitch his ass out. And tell him to his face, I'm snitching your ass out. You know that racist motherfucker when you sitting in the meeting room? Request to be his partner. And then snitch his ass out. And tell him to his face, I'm snitching your ass out. You don't deserve to wear the badge nor the uniform. And this is what I mean when I hashtag crack the blue shield. I don't want to see anybody die. I'm just like Biggie. You remember his last interview? I don't wish death on anybody because there ain't no coming back from that. Quote unquote Biggie Small. But I'm goddamn tired of people that look like me dying and being accused of being wrong just because your ass wear a goddamn shield and a gun.
And it's not just because they wear it, it's because what I always hear is they were afraid. I don't mean no harm. But some of the biggest suckers I've ever encountered were either police officers or military police officers. You get these guys who were always punks growing up, and again, it's not all, but you get guys, male or female, people, male or female, they punks, beat up, bullied, harassed, you know, hermits all their entire life. They become of age. They're intelligent enough to pass the exams, become a cop. they become a cop, you teach them some combatives, you give them a gun, go, enforce the law. The first time they encounter some adversity, they're free. They hide behind a shield, they pumped up, their adrenaline is rushing, and somebody loses a life. Going back to the video that you talked, that you mentioned briefly earlier, with the young man in Miami, he's laying on his back, hands in the air, trying to protect a mental health patient, his patient. He's talking to the mental health patient, sit down, sit down. I'm a mental health professional. He's my patient. All he has is a toy in his hand. But because somebody called the cops and said, hey, this Hispanic man walking around with a gun, they come out guns blazing. Again, no mediation, no de-escalation. And they don't even shoot the person who was supposed to be the threat. They shoot the person who's on the ground talking, being a mediator. He's doing their job. And they shoot him.
But why?
And when he's asked, why do you shoot me? Or why did you shoot me? The response was, I don't know.
I don't know. Are you my dude? I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Did this motherfucker just say to you, he don't know?
I don't know why I shot you, bro.
He doesn't know.
He didn't say
my No. It gets worse. He's a SWAT team. The cop that shot him was a SWAT team member.
So you're damn near a sharpshooter. Like, when you're on a SWAT team, you go through extensive training. Your marksmanship has
exactly.
to be on point. So you knew who the fuck you were shooting at.
Exactly.
Come on. Yeah, granted, he shot him in the leg, you know what I'm saying? But I'm sure it wasn't from 500 meters away, so the windage wasn't that damn far off. You know what I'm saying? So, and it probably wasn't no Kentucky windage going on out there. Like, you saw it.
No.
Like, you know. You know what I'm saying? You probably had a scope on your shit. You know what I mean? Come on, bro. Like, your answer is, as a SWAT team member, your answer is, I don't know why.
I don't know.
You know. He probably sneezed, arms went down, and he shot him in the leg.
No. So
the
police...
I forget
the dude's name from the police union, but this asshole comes up and says, the officer shot to prevent the other person from killing the man lying on the ground with his hands up.
I didn't see that. He didn't say
he
that.
Had, yeah, he did. He had a toy truck. Death by toy truck. This grown-ass man going to swallow the toy. How is he going to kill him with the toy truck? He's going to bludgeon him to death with the toy truck? Really?
Oh, man.
I mean, anything is possible. Anything is possible. Anything is possible. But that's what he said. So they were intending on shooting a handicapped man for having a toy truck. But to your point, no de-escalation, no negotiations, no mitigation. Just come out, guns blazing. And I understand their hyper sense of sensitivity. You know, I understand that. You know, there have been shootings in Baton Rouge. There have been shootings in Dallas.
I don't understand
I'm
that.
With all that.
I don't understand
but
that.
But still,
you
have to
war.
Do your job.
Right. Well, we've been at war in
2000. Hold on. You can be hypersensitive to the Baton Rouge and the Dallas, but you can't be hypersensitive to the Tamir Rice in
right.
Ohio.
Right?
You can't be hypersensitive to the Austin Sterlings. You can't be hypersensitive to those things, but you can be hypersensitive to the Baton Rouge and the Dallas. Get the fuck out of here.
They don't matter because they don't matter. And I keep trying to get people to understand this is what the Black Lives Matter movement is about. And again, it's not to say that nobody else matters, but it's clear, it's evident. Like you said, you illustrated that beautifully. You could be hypersensitive to cops getting killed, but we need to understand why you approach the way you approach things in regards to when you're dealing with a minority. We need to understand that. But this man is laying on his back, hands in the air. He's taking note of everything that's happened for the last 3 or 4 years. And he applied that in that encounter. He's laying on his back, hands up, talking. I do not have a gun. He does not have a gun. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's talking clear. And you shoot me, your response is, I don't know. But again, this hypersensitivity crap is not an excuse to me because, once again, there's always this battle between soldiers and police officers as far as respect and stuff like that, from what I witnessed. Soldiers have been at war since 2002, officially, since 2002. We can't just go into a community, a mall in freaking Cabal, and a kid sneezes, and we spray them all up. We getting hung in the town square, you know, in 30 days. Because the Geneva Convention, you know, UN regulations, NATO, UCMJ, everything, all these regulations that we're governed by, as far as how to conduct ourselves in warfare.
Right.
Or how to even approach an enemy combatant. But you could just walk around just shooting freaking mental health workers because, oh, my bad, I don't know why.
Yeah. But hold on. Commander Emil Hollands has been suspended without pay for inconsistencies in his statement about the shooting.
Whatever.
All right. So let's move on. Let's do the rundown. So Fox exit. $40 million in cash for squeezing some ass. Now, after being sued for sexual harassment, Roger Ailes is getting $40 million to leave Fox News as its CEO.
Yeah.
My issue with that is, how does that speak to accountability on Fox News' part? And what does that say about the culture of Fox News? Well, now, your girl, Megyn Kelly, says that she declined advances early in her career from Mr. Ailes. Now, Megyn Kelly just got her ass dug out the other day by my big brother, D.L. Hughley. He handed it to her. He straight up handed it to her on her show. But I don't find her attractive. In no way, shape, or form do I find her attractive. Maybe it's just me. Could be. I could be biased toward her because she works for Fox News. I just don't find her as attractive. So, and more power to him for trying to holler at her. Hell, he probably got the better end of that deal by you bullshitting. But your girl Leslie Jones is in a Twitter war. The Ghostbusters star is receiving a boatload of hate tweets about her looks and her role in Ghostbusters. I'm sorry. Did I say Starbusters? I meant to say Ghostbusters. Listen to my ass. Ghostbusters. And she said on one of the late night shows the other night, look, hate speech and freedom of speech are two different things. What's scary about the whole thing is the insults didn't hurt me. Unfortunately, I'm used to insults, but what scared me was the injustice of a gang of people jumping against you for such a sick cause. It was so gross and mean and unnecessary. Now, you know, let's be clear. Leslie Jones is not in my top three, top five of women that I would holler in Hollywood, by no stretch of the imagination. However, she seems to be a genuinely good person. And we could be great friends, you know. So I would holler at her from that regard, in that respect. I believe that she deserves everything that's coming to her in respect to success because she has worked her ass off. She is funny as hell. I really felt her connection to Whoopi Goldberg when she was on The View and talked about
how good it made her feel and how empowered it was for her to see Whoopi Goldberg on screen for the first time when she was little. And we need more folks like her, more folks to champion the cause of diversity in television and movies. For that, I tip my hat, I respect her, and I say that there's a special place for all you folks who are hating on her, to be honest with you, because she's getting what she deserves, for real. She's earned it. She's worked her ass off for it. And I'm happy for her. And I'm very much proud of her, without a doubt. So, Leslie, you get them. You get them. Some more ignorance. Your boy David.
When she goes to the bank after, you know, a few weeks of Ghostbusters tearing up the charts, yeah, she gonna be good.
Your favorite Coakman, David Duke, former KKK leader, is running for the Senate in Louisiana. Go fucking figure. There's a U.S. Senate seat that he's going to get in the race to get. He made his intentions known on Twitter just yesterday when he tweeted from @DrDavidDuke, and I'll say that again, @DrDavidDuke, just in case some of you all want to tweet him back. He has previously served one term as the Republican state representative. He has unsuccessfully run for U.S. Senate, House of Representatives, and governor, all from the state of Louisiana. Now, our girl, in her infinite wisdom, chose former Democratic governor of Virginia, Tom Kaine, to be her running mate. Did I say Tom or did I say Tim? Which one did I say?
Tim.
I said Tom. It's supposed to be Tim. Tim. My bad. Sometimes my handwriting gets fucked up. But Governor Kaine, let's just leave it at that. How about that? He is the former governor of Virginia, former lieutenant governor of Virginia, former mayor of Richmond, former chair of the DNC. He is a civil rights lawyer. He's 58 years old. He gets an F rating from the NRA. He votes with and for Planned Parenthood, though he is personally against abortion, which makes him a very smart man. And I say that because governance is not about what you personally believe. Governance is about what the people need and or believe. That's what true governance is about. He graduated from the University of Missouri. He is from Overland Park, Kansas, small city to the north. It's actually between Kansas City, Missouri, and Kansas City, Kansas, actually. Been there a couple times. He graduated from Harvard Law. He's a former Jesuit missionary. He went to Honduras. Came back later on in life, married a young lady whose father just happened to be a former Republican governor. That's why I got the Republican and Democrat mixed up. Virginia. They have three children. The eldest is a Marine. He was a huge supporter of Barack Obama during his first and second stint for the President of the United States of America. Now, that's the good shit. The bad shit is, just this week, Wednesday, he drew up a letter of support for deregulation of banks. Along with 28 other senators, they sent the letter to the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau to push for along with others, he drew up a letter to send to the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau to push for deregulation of banks, saying that smaller banks would be held to the same accord as larger banks, and that was unfair. On Wednesday, however, 28 senators, the smart ones, sent a letter to the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau pushing for tougher regulation on banks. So we'll see which one wins there. Senator Kaine is also pushing for a Virginia-focused bill in which he wrote a letter to the same Consumer Financial Protection Bureau to lean on payday lending, the payday lending industry. Now, I've never taken a payday loan. I thought about it a couple times, but a couple times my ass been broke. I ain't gonna lie. I was like, good luck. How am I gonna survive until next payday? But every time I thought about it, you know, God has blessed me with something or an opportunity to do something else and has prevented me from doing so. I've really not gotten into that whole business because I'm not taking anything from them. Okay, now I was going to ask you that, and I was going to say, let's get together and talk about that because that may be worthy of a show in and of itself. So let's shelve that for now and come back to that because that very well may be worthy of a show in and of itself. Do you disagree or do you agree?
Oh, no, I definitely agree.
Okay, and we'll shelve that. We'll shelve that, family, and we'll come back. That was simply a display item, ladies and gentlemen. That was simply a display item. Like in Living Color, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Let's go across the pond for a quick second. BritX is causing quite a stir. So the UK's biggest businesses and inventory control managers are seeing the sharpest drop in demand for goods and services since the Great Recession in April 2009. The IMF is predicting growth at less than 1 percentage point than previously expected in 2017 due to Britain's exit from the European Union. This will result in a slower growth throughout the world, the global economy, actually. Fears of reduced trade has pushed Italian banks closer to insolvency. Now, if you all don't remember, some months ago, we were on, it's been about a year, I would say, maybe a year and a half, when the Greek banks were, you know, being rushed on because Greek currency was shit. You know what I'm saying? So everybody wanted their damn money and, like, oh, I want my money now because it's pretty soon it ain't going to be worth a damn thing. Italy was on the brink of that as well. They saved themselves by doing some things internally, I'm sorry, but it seems like they're going back on that edge again. This is not good. You know, the whole premise, the whole thought behind Britain staying a part of the EU was to truly save the global economy. With them choosing to leave, the uncertainty, the fear, you know, we talked about that with Trump earlier. It's always prevalent in markets. The fear is just rampant right now. Nobody knows shit. This is why there's been such a huge rush on two things, gold and U.S. Treasury bonds. Huge rush on both. This is why the Dow is looking so damn good. Cause you know why? Because everybody's money is coming here. Everybody's money's coming here. But there's fear about that. Why? Because no one knows what's going to happen with our election. If Hillary Clinton wins, okay, the Dow will top 20,000. I said it. It's never gotten that high. If Hillary Clinton wins, the Dow will top 20,000. I said it. Because money will pour into the United States of America hand over fist faster than we can fucking count it. I said it. This will become the safest place in the world for people's money. Just like that. If Donald Trump wins, God help us all. Because not only will there be fear in Europe, but there will then be fear in the United States of America. Not good. Two of the largest economies in the world will be in chaos and feared. The others being China, Russia, and Germany. You cannot count Africa because Africa is a continent, not a country.
Really?
So, yeah, true that, true that. I know a lot of people don't know that, but that's where it is. And to wrap the show as we normally do, we'll turn to sports. First off, our condolences to the Green family. Dennis Green passed away, former coach of the Arizona Cardinals and Minnesota Vikings. And if you've ever I was just about to say that. If you've ever watched the Bud commercial on TV during football season, you will hear that tidbit from him. They always are. You know what I'm saying? And we let him get away. That was the end. That was the ending of that that comment there. And that's how that whole thing went down. But he led the Vikings to 8 playoff appearances in 10 seasons, 2 NFC Championship games. Never captured the title, but he did lead them to 2 NFC Championship games and 8 playoffs in 10 seasons. That's a pretty successful fucking career. Seriously, I mean, had he done that and done nothing else, like, damn, that was a hell of a coach. You know what I'm saying? That, dude, 8 playoffs in 10 years, that's a hell of a career. That's a hell of a career. And 2 NFC Championship titles games, yeah, that's pretty impressive. Yeah, he was 67 years old, and he will definitely be missed. The ACC announced a joint venture with ESPN. They are getting their own television channel, which, thank God, they did, because the bullshit Riotcom bullshit that they got going on right now, it fucking sucks. It fucking sucks, especially if you're not in the area of an ACC team. It really fucking sucks because you're just shit out of luck. So the NBA made a major move just Thursday. They announced that they were moving the All-Star game out of Charlotte, North Carolina, because of HB2, which is the bill about the transgender bathroom usage in North Carolina. I will not be surprised. I echoed it then. I'll say it again now. I will not be surprised if the CIAA leaves Carolina and either goes to Virginia or Tennessee to be played. I'll say that again. I will not be surprised if the CIAA goes to either Virginia or Tennessee to be played. That is how touchy this subject is, this issue is, and it's costing Carolina money. This is really going to hurt them. Really, really going to hurt them. Others will pull out sooner rather than later. There have already been concerts canceled. This is huge, dog. They were supposed to get the All-Star game, the All-Star game and the CIAA within weeks of one another. I'm not talking 6 weeks. I'm talking literally weeks. The All-Star game was going to happen like 2 or 3 weeks before the CIAA kicked off. If that long, I mean, it was extremely close. You're talking about millions of dollars that just get flushed down the damn toilet because of this bill. Millions. There was a team that canceled their scrimmage against Duke University because of HB Bill 2. Dude, Coach K has said publicly out of his mouth, this bill is stupid. Let me tell you something. Let me tell y'all something. When Coach K starts talking publicly about something,
he was the president of North Carolina.
Yes. You know what I'm saying?
The president of North Carolina just spoke.
Yeah. Let me tell y'all something. Shit about to change. This is not a game anymore. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, woo! And when I read the comments, I was like, oh, Coach K, what? Coach K said that? Ooh, y'all know this about to change, right? With the swiftness. When Coach K start talking, oh, yeah, dog, that's a problem. That is a problem. Salute to the WNBA and its players. They have continued their protests in support of the Black Lives Matter movement, in which they have donned T-shirts and whatnot during this time. Teams have been fined $5,000 and players have been fined $500 each. And they say, fuck them. We will continue because it is that serious and it is that necessary. Point blank, period.
Real quick, though. This is one of the problems that I always have with the comparison between the Black Lives Matter movement and the LGBT community and their movement. You can cancel an entire NBA All-Star game. And I'm not saying I disagree with the move. I do agree with it. But why is it that this kind of reaction isn't made from, you know, with as far as executives, team executives, in support of the Black Lives Matter move? Just sit on that for a couple of weeks or just for the week, you know, for our listeners. Think about that. Why is it that one group's rights is more important than another group's right?
Money.
money.
Yeah.
It's really about money and control of messaging. And one of the things that folk, black folk, need to understand is they need to control their money, which is why I applaud Killer Mike and T.I. and everyone else who have gone out and said, look, we need to move our money to the people that look like us and then hold their asses accountable, too, to make sure that our money is taken care of. But, yeah, definitely. We need to control our own money. Once you control your money, you can then control your community. You can then control your elected officials, who will then control the judicial system, so on and so forth. But it starts with your money. You've got to pool your resources. You've got to speak with a voice that's going to write checks, because that's what people understand. They understand checks. So, okay, we want this. Well, here's a check, and we want that. Oh, okay, y'all writing checks. You know, like, and shout out to us. I'm going to toot our own horn for a half a second, and I say that. My Merville Alumni Association, you know, we are an alumni association for our high school. The difference between us and a lot of other alumni associations in Baltimore City is we write checks for our school. Now, the other alumni associations get together, they throw parties and cookouts,
yeah,
and type shit. Okay, but we write checks to our school. We gave scholarships to our students. Not a scholarship, but scholarships. That's the difference. When you do those things, you're in a different category. And that's what we do. So, it's about money. We definitely got to control our money. Once we control the money, then we can control everything else. Family, we thank you for joining us this week. We look forward to being with you all again next week and the week after and the week after and the week after and the week after. My niece is in country. When I say in country, I mean in country. She lives in the Caribbean, so she's in country for the next 3 weeks. I will be spending some time with her very, very soon, but I have to shout her out because she listens. Zaria, Uncle loves you. See you soon. You all have a great week. Enjoy your weekend. Please stay hydrated. It's hot as hell out this piece. Peace.
Holla.